talking about the President's fiscal year 16 budget. Let me start off by saying that I asked the staff to compare this budget to the first full budget the President submitted in fiscal year 2010. What you'll find is that this budget is below what that first fiscal year budget 2010 was. So it's a testimony, I think, to the hard work of the folks at USDA in identifying savings, that we're operating with a budget that's below where it was 6 years ago. And it's particularly of note when you consider that half of the discretionary budget that USDA puts together is comprised of primarily five items: food safety, rental assistance, WIC, and the fire suppression and forest management portions of the budget. We've obviously worked hard to be efficient and effective. There's still work to be done. But a budget actually, I think, is obviously much more than just numbers. It's an expression of values, and I think it ought to be a roadmap to a brighter and better future. This budget, I think, extends on the President's notion of a middle-class economics by expanding on a family's ability to meet basic needs and by creating a better opportunity through investment in both infrastructure and innovation. It also has to, I think, be based on the reality of what we face in rural America today. While we recognize the significance and importance of agriculture generally, that's a $775 billion impact on our economy, one out of every 12 jobs, the reality is we've got an aging producer population, which we attempt to address in part with this budget. It is also the place of persistent poverty, especially impacting children. 85% of the counties with high persistent poverty rates are located in rural areas. So the budget has to address and deal with many of these issues. So what I'd like to do is spend just a few minutes talking about the importance of agriculture in this budget, focusing on how this budget extends and expands the family's ability to meet basic needs, a little discussion about the innovation and infrastructure investment, talk briefly about poverty and then some of the reforms that are being proposed in this budget. Should do that for about 10 minutes or so, and I'll be glad to answer questions. And I've told Cullen that I'll be here until 2:30, so hopefully that gives everyone an opportunity to ask questions. Obviously, we start in terms of the importance of agriculture and our aging farming population. This budget contains budget authority for $6.4 billion of ownership and operating loans for farmers. It will help finance nearly 43 loans. A majority of those loans, over 23,000, will go to beginning farmers and socially disadvantaged farmers. This will bring to a total since 2009 of over 200,000 loans that this administration has provided. We're also going to use our beginning farmer and rancher programs that are funded in this budget to assist in the access that farmers have to credit, increase their financial literacy and business planning, and provide a greater awareness of USDA resources. So it's important to start with the credit that is available to producers. Obviously, we will continue to invest in crop insurance, $3.2 billion, which together with what we anticipate will be paid out through the ARC and PLC payments, will be roughly equivalent to what has been projected of overall our farm bill safety net payments for 2016. Continue to promote trade. Over the course of the last 6 years, we've financed 150 trade shows, helped 6,000 companies in 20 countries sell and promote 33,000 different products. Obviously, it's making a difference because we've had strong years in ag exports, and we expect and anticipate another strong year this year. Continue to provide support for APHIS, which is important, particularly as it relates to getting new products into the market. APHIS has done a good job of reducing the amount of time it takes to get those new products into market, and this budget will allow them to continue that important work. And on the conservation side, this budget will finance and fund an additional 20 million acres, which will be added to the already record number of acres enrolled in conservation. We anticipate using $330 million of what's available for the second round of RCPP funding, fully fund the Land and Water Conservation Fund, and are proposing a $200 million commitment to watershed and flood prevention, an investment in infrastructure, which should help us prevent soil erosion and enhance conservation. In terms of extending and expanding a family's ability to meet basic needs and helping to reduce the effect of poverty, we obviously will be looking at a SNAP. Anticipate about 45.7 million recipients, which is a little bit less than the previous year. So we are seeing an overall reduction in SNAP participation. We will focus this year, as we started last year, on developing innovative and creative ways to get folks who are able-bodied and are interested in working to work, so they no longer need as much or no longer need at all SNAP. We're looking at focusing on demand-driven training opportunities for their employment and training. There will also be a focus as well on senior citizens' access to SNAP. $6.6 billion for WIC, designed to serve 8.5 million women, infants, and children. Just note that 53% of all newborns in this country are participating in WIC. We're $26 billion in loan authority and other assistance to provide housing. This will provide rental assistance for over a quarter of a million low-income units, as well as financing 171,000 single-family homes. That will bring to over a million the number of home loans that have been administered and provided during this administration. We'll continue our aggressive effort to expand summer feeding beyond the 53,811 sites that exist today. Our goal is to serve 200 million meals, would be an increase of nearly 14 million over last year. Over the course of the last 2 years, we've increased the number of meals by 23 million. So it's a stretch goal, but one we think worthy of achievement. 23.5 million Americans live within a mile, more than a mile rather, from a grocery store. This budget contains money to begin to jumpstart the healthy food financing effort authorized in the Farm Bill. And we, of course, will continue our support for our efforts to improve school meals and to expand school breakfast. The budget anticipates a 600,000 increase in school breakfast participation. That's on top of the 1.1 million increase we've seen since 2012. We'll focus on continued efforts to enroll school districts in the community eligibility program, which will, I think, reduce the number of errors in that school meal program. Currently today, 14,000 schools involving 6.4 million students are taking advantage of that community eligibility opportunity. This budget also contains the $35 million in school equipment grants, which when combined with our team up effort is designed to provide help and assistance to school districts that want to comply with the new standards and are in need of assistance either in terms of equipment or technical assistance and mentoring. On the investment in innovation and infrastructure side, this is an aggressive effort in this budget. $920 million of budget authority to business development, which will support nearly 32,000 jobs. Our signature program, obviously, is the Business and Industry Loan Program, Guarantee Program. We anticipate the resources available in that program will help nearly 350 companies. This will also be focused on the bioeconomy and local and regional food systems and an increase in manufacturing in rural areas. To date, this effort has already benefited 89,000 businesses and helped to support 420,000 jobs. Trade promotion will continue. As I said before, trade is not only good for agriculture, it's also good for jobs. In fact, these jobs pay somewhere between 13% and 18% more than non-export jobs. So we'll continue aggressively promoting trade, and of course, we'll continue to work with other cabinet members articulating the need for trade promotion authority and hopefully with the passage of a Trans-Pacific Partnership trade agreement at some point in time at the end of this year. The forest budget includes additional resources to increase the number of treated board feet, which is a job creator in the timber industry. We've increased that number every year in the last 5 years. We're looking at 3 billion board feet. We're going to continue to try to expand on ways in which wood can be used to provide alternative job opportunities in terms of our forests. Community infrastructure, heavy investments here, 24 broadband projects. We expect to add to the 1.49 million people who already benefited from investments in broadband. $1.6 billion in loans and grants for water and wastewater programs. We think that will fund nearly 1,300 projects helping 2.4 million people get improved service. That's on top of the 14.5 million that have already received help. On the electric side, $6 billion will help to finance 400 loans. We think that will help 5.5 million people be better served. We've already improved 158,000 miles of electric lines as a result of our efforts in 2009. On the community facility side, $2.6 billion in loans and $62 million in grants should finance and fund over 2,500 projects, which will take us well over 10,000 projects for this administration. Particularly interested and excited about the opportunities in research. It's important to note that these research dollars that have been invested to date since 2009 have resulted in 758 patent applications, 2,209 business licenses, which are income-producing opportunities created from our research. We're looking at $1.1 billion for ARS to continue 800 research projects. Just to give you a sense of this, in the last 5 or 6 years, ARS has developed 398 new plant varieties, doing some extensive research on citrus greening, wheat stem rust, feed additives, the genome, mapping the genome of corn, dairy cows, et cetera. NIFA, $1.5 billion. Included in that will be a portion of the resources of $57 million for the antimicrobial resistance effort, consistent with our plan to deal with this issue and to increase research. $79 million will go towards assisting us in understanding what's happening with our pollinators. Excited about fulfilling the PCAST recommendation for the establishment of two separate institutes within the research budget. These are public-private partnerships. One would be focused on biomanufacturing, and the other would be focused on nanocellulosic materials. These are critically important. They provide for advanced research and technology transfer. The Department of Energy has several of these institutes, and they're doing phenomenal work in the bioenergy space. So we anticipate and expect and hope that Congress will give us the authority to set up two institutes through our research resources. Obviously, research will continue to focus on animal plant protection and productivity, nutrition, food safety, climate change, and bioenergy. On the poverty side, 1 in 4 children living in rural America live in poverty. It's the highest rate since 1986, so this budget calls for $20 million to be directed toward our hardest-hit areas. We're going to use new approaches, a better coordinated effort, not only within USDA, but also with other federal agencies, and the targeting of resources in our strike force and promise zone areas. The reform side, lots to talk about there as well. Continuation of our blueprint for stronger service that's already identified nearly $1.4 billion in savings. A real focus on reducing error rates in both the school meal program and in crop insurance. Continued investment in SNAP integrity. A resumption and a continuation of our efforts to reform food aid to provide for more local and regional procurement because it's more effective and more efficient, gets aid to more people more quickly. Continuing our effort to convince Congress to give us a fire budget that reflects the reality of what's happening out there in the countryside, a budget that basically allows us to treat some of these fires as the natural disasters they are, funding them accordingly, which will free up resources to allow us to be more aggressive in our restoration resiliency efforts. Also, we have proposed a continuation of some of the reforms and some of the changes in crop insurance that were proposed last year. We will continue to focus on making sure that we provide a strong safety net, but consistent with the OIG audit, we're proposing some suggested changes in the preventive planning resources and focus, as well as on the harvest price coverage. And then finally, as you probably know, the President's budget contains a recommendation for a single food safety agency, something that I talked about a number of years ago. It's clear to me that the 15 agencies that are currently involved in food safety in the federal government are probably 14 too many. If we want to provide the most effective and the most efficient system to ensure the safety of food supplies throughout the U.S., we'll obviously be working with Congress to discuss and debate this issue in terms of its appropriateness as well as in terms of how such a single single food safety agency could be smoothly and effectively transitioned from the current system. So all in all, a budget that is less than it was 6 years ago, a budget that still focuses on an effective and efficient government, and one that I think reflects the values of this department over the course of the last 5 or 6 years in a still very tough budget environment.